So we're going to turn to the Bible again and 1 Kings chapter 2. Our focus is on Kings this morning. With it being the coronation weekend, I've decided to stick with that theme. And I'm going to read from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. So moving on in the life of David from that time when he fought Goliath, this is right to the end of his life. So 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, "I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commands, his rules and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, 'If your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel.' Moreover, you also know what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, how he dealt with the two commanders of the armies of Israel, Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he killed, avenging in time of peace for blood that had been shed in war, and putting the blood of war on the belt around his waist and on the sandals on his feet. Act therefore according to your wisdom, but do not let his grey head go down to Sheol in peace. But deal loyally with the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For with such loyalty they met me when I fled from Absalom, your brother. And there is also with you Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjaminite from Bahurim, who cursed me with a grievous curse on the day when I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, saying, 'I will not put you to death with the sword.' Now therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. You will know what you ought to do to him, and you will bring his grey head down with blood to Sheol." Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. Pray that the Lord would bless the reading of his word to us today. If you have a Bible with you, you may like to turn back to that passage in 1 Kings. We're going to be referring to it as we go through. But during this coronation weekend, I thought it would be good for us just to focus a little bit on kings, on our king in particular, but using this passage from 1 Kings chapter 2 as a launch pad, as a starting place, as we think of some of the events that have taken place. In part, what we do as we gather this morning is to give thanks for our King, to give thanks for those who are in authority over us. And this weekend, of course, has been a historic moment in the life of our nation. We've seen a few of them over the last few years. Now, for some of us, this will have been the only coronation that we've seen. For others, you may well have seen the coronation of Elizabeth 70 years ago. But this time marks another change in the life of our nation. But before we come on to think about our king, I just want to spend some time reflecting on the previous monarch. I've got 3 points this morning. The first one is a powerful legacy. As King Charles takes the throne, as he was crowned yesterday, he follows on, obviously, from Queen Elizabeth II. And she's left a legacy that he's picking up. She's handed over the baton, if you like, to him, that he's now taken on. She reigned in this nation for 70 years. Earlier on last year, we celebrated a platinum jubilee before then, of course, witnessing a funeral later in the year. But 70 years, a long reign. 70 years, one monarch in the nation. 70 years of stability. And now change. And for many of us, change is hard. For many of us, change is one of those difficult things that we have to face, isn't it? And no doubt we all come to this subject today with different thoughts, different views, different ideas on the monarchy at all, on the previous monarchy, on the current monarchy. We'll have different views on that. But what I think we should do is to give thanks for the legacy that Queen Elizabeth left behind her. She was queen through so many changes in the world, changes in society, changes in technology, changes in politics, but she remained a stable influence throughout. From becoming queen in 1952, acceding to the throne in 1952, she was queen through the Suez Crisis, the civil rights struggles in the USA, the Vietnam War, the Falklands, the two Gulf Wars. So much has gone on in the world over those 70 years. Afghanistan, not to mention, just looking at her own family, the royal family, marriages, divorces, deaths, controversy, and the ever-shifting scenes on the world stage, bringing us into today, Ukraine, Russia. But she was there throughout, and she left a legacy. And our passage today that we read from 1 Kings speaks of another king and a legacy that he left. The moment of the death of David, king of Israel, arguably the greatest king in Israel, the greatest king that we read of, the man who was described as being a man after God's own heart. And what we see in the passage we read there in 1 Kings chapter 2, that early part of the chapter, is the handing on of the baton. King David, knowing his life was nearly over, handing on the baton to his son, Solomon. But there's reference to the legacy that David left after 40 years as king. Not quite 70, but 40 years. He brought peace, he brought stability to the nation. In his commentary, Roger Ellsworth describes it like this. He had brought the nation to unprecedented power and success. He had defeated her enemies. He had ennobled her worship with psalms. He had ruled with compassion and justice. He had left a powerful legacy. He was a powerful ruler. But as the time of his death came near, what was it he said? He spoke to his son Solomon and said, verse 2, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Death comes to all. Death comes to all. We may not like to think about it. We may not like to talk about it, but it is a reality, isn't it? It is the reality that death comes to all. Even being the ruling monarch does not exclude you from death. The need is to be ready for it. The need is to be ready for it and to leave a legacy. And that's what Queen Elizabeth did. She left an impact on many people who'd never met her. I never met her. And yet Christmas Day for 47 years was marked by sitting down at 3 o'clock to listen to what she would say. She had an impact on me. That message, a message of relevance, a message of comfort, a message often of hope. And for many, one great legacy that she had was that she took opportunities where she could to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. To help others to be ready for that moment of death, to be ready to meet God. And sometimes those moments were in her Christmas Day messages. at other times or in different speeches, but the teaching of the Bible, it would appear, underpinned her life, her work, her reign, and her service to the nation. And her focus on God and his word didn't dim, even through trials, even through trouble. Here are two quotes from her, one in November 2021, and one from just under a year ago, which is just a few weeks before her death. And this is November 2021. None of us can slow the passage of time. And while we often focus on all that has changed in the intervening years, much remains unchanged, including the gospel of Christ and his teachings. And then August 2022. Throughout my life, the messages and the teachings of Christ have been my guide, and in them I find hope. It would seem that she did keep going. She kept trusting. She kept following. She kept her faith in the Lord Jesus throughout her life, right to the end. Maybe she would have been able to say, along with the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Like the Apostle Paul, like King David all those years ago, she ran her race. She fought her fight. Now she dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Well, let's learn from her. Let's seek to follow her legacy, to keep our eyes on the Lord, to keep running that race, to keep fighting the fight, and to keep the Word of God as our guide and as our hope. She left a powerful legacy. King Charles now picks that mantle up. He picks that baton up. He now wears the crown. And so as we've seen a powerful legacy, our next point that we think about is the need for prayer. Prayer for our new king. But we start with David's instructions to Solomon. "I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commands, his rules and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me." So Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. So as a new era of monarchy begins, it's right that we, the church, take on the instruction, the exhortation in Scripture to pray for those in authority over us, to pray for those who rule over us. And so we need to pray. We need to pray for our king. In this passage, David gave Solomon instructions for the future. He told him what he needed to do. He told him how he needed to live in order to be God's king for Israel at that time. But he also left him some personal instructions. There was a general instruction. "Keep the charge of the Lord your God. Walk in his ways. Keep his statutes, his commands and his rules and his testimonies." That's how Solomon would to be a good king. By following the word of God. By trusting in the word of God. But there were some personal instructions as well. We'll come to those in a minute. But these instructions, these give us principles in how we can pray today for our own royal family. They give us some guidelines to pray for our new monarch, King Charles III, but to pray for future rulers to come. Taking the throne at his age means he's not going to be king for very long, really, in comparison. So we need to be praying for the next generation as well. 1 Timothy chapter 2, this is the Apostle Paul again. "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God, our Saviour. So what is it we should pray? Well, firstly, we should give thanks. We should give thanks to God for raising up a ruler. We should give thanks for him, for his role. As we no doubt gave thanks for the Queen before him. But we should also offer intercessions. We should also pray meaningfully for him. As I say, we come with different views, but the instruction of Scripture is clear. Pray for those who are in authority. Pray for kings. Pray for those in high places. So we are to do that. We can see something of what to pray in this passage from 1 Kings chapter 2. In those instructions from David, there's the call to Solomon for obedience, for trusting in God, but also a call for justice. These are things we should be praying for our new king as his reign begins, as this transition in the royal family takes place. And if you were watching the coronation yesterday, you will have seen that moment when the king was handed a Bible. He was handed a Bible and told this, "Sir, to keep you ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God as the rule for the whole life and government of Christian princes, receive this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." The word of God, the most valuable thing that this world affords. I heard something last night that Rico Tice said when he was speaking last night, and he said that the regalia that King Charles was given yesterday was worth approximately £1.3 billion. So all of the rod, the sceptre, the crown, the orb, worth combined value of £1.3 billion. But compared to that, the word of God, priceless. The greatest, most valuable thing that this world affords. And so the call from David to Solomon was obey the word of God. The call to our king today is obey the word of God. And so we need to pray that he would do that. That he will read that Bible. That he will understand that Bible. That he will follow that Bible. We need to pray for obedience. Queen Elizabeth referenced the word of God as her guide. Let's pray that King Charles would do the same. That he would follow the ways of God with the help of God throughout his reign. Now, of course, the promise to Solomon was that if he followed the ways of God, then the kingdom would prosper. Well, he was God's king of God's people in God's place. It was a different day. It was a different time. We can't have that same promise now that following the word of God brings prosperity. We know that for ourselves, no doubt. We can't make that same immediate material link. We can't say that following the Lord will lead to safety, to security. You know, we can't say that if our king believes and trusts in the Lord and follows his word, then we'll never have any enemies and no attack ever come on this nation. We can't say that. But we can clearly say that to follow the Lord brings massive, enormous spiritual blessing. To trust in the Lord, to walk with him, leads to knowing him more closely, leads ultimately to heaven, to eternal life. Because obeying and following him means trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving your life, putting your hope and your trust in him, which is the only way to eternal life and to eternal blessing. The only way to being prepared for that day of death. And so let's pray for King Charles that that would be a truth, a reality for him. And let's pray for one another that we would be in that place as well. Trusting, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray for the wider royal family, that their hope, their trust would be in the Lord, that they would follow the words of God. But we're to pray as well that our rulers, And we don't limit this just to the king, but we can take in the government as well, that they are to execute justice. And verses 5 to 9, David gave Solomon some specific instructions. How to deal with different people. Joab and Shimei had both acted against David and so acted against God. And so David directs Solomon, use your wisdom, use your discretion, but act justly against them. Barzillai as well. David marks out as a man who helped David, who acted well. So David had stood back, withdrawn his hand from Barzillai. But again, he says to Solomon, that family need to see justice. There needs to be justice. We pray too that our king would be wise, that he would be just, that he would distance himself from corruption, distance himself from sin, seeking instead to model integrity, justice, and service. There was a moving moment at the beginning of the service yesterday when a young boy was the first one to speak in that service and spoke of service. And the king himself said later on in the service, God of compassion and mercy, whose son was sent not to be served but to serve, give grace that I may find in thy service perfect freedom, and in that freedom knowledge of thy truth. We pray that he would serve, that he would give of himself in service, justice and service and integrity. We pray for him, we pray for the royal family. But let's remember as well, and I think we saw moments of this in the service yesterday, he is just a man. He is not perfect. He is a man who faces all of the emotions and all of the temptations that we all face. There were moments of emotion in that service yesterday. You could see it. But there will be temptations that come as well. This day, or the day yesterday, was a day that he had been waiting for many years, a day he'd been trained for many years. But as it's come at a cost. The cost of the life of his mother. There will have been all sorts of emotions going on yesterday. There's been emotions over the last months, grief, turmoil, loss, sadness. But let's pray. Pray for him as a man, as he faces temptations, as he faces trials. The Apostle Paul, of course, writes that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so we pray for the royal family in times of joy, in times of sadness. Let's seek to feel those same feelings on their behalf. But not just today, let's pray regularly for our king, regularly for our royal family, as we are called to, with thanksgiving, with intercession, with supplication. So we've seen a powerful legacy, we've seen a prayer, we finish with a picture. Because every king, every ruler, every monarch is a picture for us of a greater king. Every ruler is a picture for us of the greater king, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the king. We see this again and again through the pages of the Bible. Jesus is the king. As a church a couple of years ago, we went through Matthew's gospel, and Matthew again and again speaks of Jesus as the king, Jesus with the kingdom. And when we come to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, we're told he's not just the king, he is the king of kings, he is the Lord of lords. Now this is Revelation 17 verse 14. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. The commentator Simon Kistemaker says, "The name King of Kings denotes sovereignty and authority. The name Lord of Lords signifies majesty and power. Every ruler, all nations and all people are subject to him. And anyone belonging to either the angelic world or humanity who determines to fight him faces a losing battle and utter ruin." Jesus Christ is the highest exalted sovereign. He reigns with majesty. He reigns with power. He reigns with authority. We see it there right at the end of the New Testament, but we see it earlier on in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 10 speaks of the Lord your God, who is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God. The theme is there throughout the pages of Scripture. The Lord is to be worshipped higher than all other rulers, greater than all other rulers, more powerful than all other rulers, more majestic than all other rulers. Our King, at times yesterday, knelt. He bowed before God. Queen Elizabeth knelt and bowed before God. Everyone, one day, will kneel before the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. It's in his name, the name of Jesus, and his name alone that we can be saved. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And it's in his name and his name alone that we can be saved. We can't be saved in the name of Elizabeth or in the name of Charles, nor in the name of David or Solomon, but only in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is to be praised forever. And so, as we draw this part of our service to a close, let's remember, let's give thanks for the life and the reign of our former Queen, for her legacy, for her desire to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray for our new King as he's taken the throne. Pray that he would follow that legacy, that he would rejoice in the truth of the gospel. But let's remember above all that Christ reigns over all, and his reign, his rule can never fail, will never come to an end. We're told in the book of Hebrews, this is Hebrews 12, 28 and 29, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." So even in what are essentially times of uncertainty in our world, let us look to the Lord. Let's look to the Lord for comfort, for security, for hope, for certainty, for joy. Let's look to the Lord for forgiveness. Let's look to the Lord for salvation. Let's look to the Lord for eternal life, knowing that his is the kingdom that will never be shaken and never come to an end. Amen.